Amen.
I don't know if it's a privilege or a punishment, but I'm back again. Amen. And we appreciate being here. We have enjoyed so much this week together, and I have known your pastor for a while. We serve on the board with Baptist Missions, and we don't get a chance to fellowship much. We kind of talk a little bit, and so I've really enjoyed this week getting to know him, getting to know the ministry, the burden that he has, and I'm impressed. I really am. For him to develop the programs and having the burdens that he has here, the outreaches and the desire to grow people in the Lord, it really has been an encouragement to me. And I want to thank you for that. I've really enjoyed it. And again, for all your kindnesses to us, it has just been a real blessing. My wife and I were saying the other day, just this afternoon, what a blessing it was just to be here with a good spirit, the friendliness that we've sensed here, and the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're going to end this as far as this service this week, but we don't want to end the thrust. This is just the week to kick off for the next year of what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, you know, I want to think about just for a moment, if I can, you know, why do we really love missions? I mean, I know your pastor has a heart for it. I see $107,000 that are coming in this year to support missionaries, 58 missionaries you support, and you love them. But why should we love missions? Why is the burden of it all? So I want your Bibles, if you will, take it and turn to John chapter 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I love familiar passages of Scripture. I love to read them and try to glean just something out of it to keep me encouraged. And I find this here about the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you join with me in standing as I read a passage, and then I'll have prayer, and then you may be seated. John chapter 4, and then starting in verse number 4, notice this. He says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." He must need. There was a burden there. Why are the Bernards going to Thailand? I hope I got that one right. I've been saying Taiwan all week. Taiwan, Thailand's close. Amen. But wherever God is sending them. And then the other dear couple going to the mission field that God has burdened them to. And Brother Bernard tonight going to Curacao. Why? There is a burden. There was something that needs to be done. Then it says in verse 5, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Let's pray, shall we? Once again, Father, we're so thankful for that wonderful privilege that we have to be called the sons of God. Thank you for allowing us to be in a place where we heard the gospel. And Lord, it is everywhere in our nation. And yet, Lord, all around the world, there's a famine. There's a need for the living water. And so tonight, Lord, I pray, God, help us to be found faithful. Help us in our labors of love as we go out into this community and our community back home to, with the gospel, that we'd be found faithful. But then, Lord, let us also realize that your heart is reaching people everywhere. So let us be found faithful in helping others do what God had, you have called them to. Now bless, I pray, the next few moments. Help us, Lord, as we close out this service, and we'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen. Why do we love missions? Why are we so involved in missions? Why do we take a whole week of our churches and set it aside and have special meetings and bring in folks and have to provide for them as we do? We want to do that. We want to honor them by providing a place to stay. And it does cost the church money. We understand that. But why do we do all that? Why is it so important to us that we ought to have these times together? Well, I believe out of this passage of Scripture, we can find some reasons, some ideas on why missions is so important to our church and why we ought to love it as we ought to do it. First of all, I believe that missions is so important to us and why we ought to love it is because mission certainly is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Look at verse number 4. It says, and he must needs go through Samaria. You know, in the wisdom of God, he knew that this lady was going to be there. He knew exactly the hour that she would be at the well. He knew her need and that she needed to have what he had to give her. And so the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ caused him, compelled him, moved him to come to this very place where Jesus was. Now, there are two routes from Judea to the northern territory of Galilee, and that's where Jesus was heading. One was a shorter route than the other, and of course, that would have been the easiest way to go. Devout Jews avoided that route to Samaria simply because, and they preferred the longer route because of the fact that it would circumvent Samaria. They hated that area where those people were. They did not like them. They considered them to be dogs. For Jesus, the route through Samaria was necessary because there was a woman who needed to hear what he had to say. It compelled him to go. Carousel has people that need to hear the gospel. Boy, what a blessing to see those people get saved, wasn't it? Out of a Bible study, and they're asking him to do it. Man, I wish people in my town would ask me to have a Bible study. What a joy to have a ministry like that. But they need to hear the gospel. Those people in Thailand, right? Good, got it right. They need to hear it. And there's people there that are looking for it in the place where the wilds are serving. Certainly, there are people everywhere. And that burden must needs to go. Now, I'm glad that God doesn't call everybody into missions. But I certainly wish those that he did call would answer. I believe with all my heart, the world's in need of having people surrender their lives, that they must needs go and serve God. Must needs go. It's the heartbeat of Christ to reach people. His heart was so filled with the love of the lost and the love for this lady that he went where other Jews would not go. You know, the Apostle Paul also was a great missionary, but Jesus was the greatest missionary of them all. He left heaven. He left the place where his Father was. He was sent by God himself. The Bible says that, for God so loved the world that he gave or sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And so he was sent as a missionary. He came to this earth as a missionary. He voluntarily left his home and traveled to an unfriendly land. He came onto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected who he was. Boy, I'll tell you what, he cared about us. He cared so much for us. He sacrificed so greatly that those that he ministered to understood that he didn't have a place to sleep. He didn't have a place to move through, and family and friends always there to encourage him. He sacrificed so greatly. What a missionary he was. He ultimately gave his life so that others could live. I'm thinking of David Livingstone. David Livingstone was a great missionary to Africa and gave his life on that field. And I remember reading the story about how he would spend hours of praying in his little hut And one day the natives were waiting for him to come out, and he didn't come, and so they were afraid to disturb him, and so they waited. But eventually one would go up and knock on the door, and there was no reply, and they would wait a little bit, and they'd knock again, and no reply. Finally, one of the natives entered into that hut, and they found Dr. Livingston kneeling by his cot. He had passed away, gone into heaven, but he was praying for the people that he had. When they came from England to take his body back and to bury it there, the native said, "Oh, you can have his body, but you cannot have his heart." And they literally took his heart and buried it underneath of a tree there, because he said his heart belongs to Africa. He literally gave his life because of love. Jesus came to this earth with one purpose, to give his life as a ransom for all. He literally sacrificed himself. These missionaries, I believe with all my heart, are not just going for a vacation to the land that God's called them to. They aren't going there for an ease of a few years. They're literally going to give their all to the people. Oh, it's the heartbeat of Christ. It ought to be our heartbeat as well. When we think of missionaries, we ought to love it as well, and we ought to care for them. Not only should we make mission so important because it's the heartbeat of Christ, but also because it's the only hope of the condemned. Look at verse number 15. It says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw anymore." She didn't have it all together, but she knew she wanted that living water. The only hope she had. I don't know about you, but if somebody came to me and said, "Now, preacher, I take blood pressure medicine, and sometimes, as you can tell, my throat gets really dry, and my lips stick to my gums and all the rest. So I've been trying to watch it a little bit, but it's just one of those things." And if somebody came up to me and said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you something. I got a pill, or I've got some cure that you'll never have to have a dry mouth again." Whew, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd love that. Boy, I would be super glad. I'd love to have that. So this lady, she said, she's thinking of going out and having to go through the labor of going down into that well and bringing up this water. And she realizes the need of her life. Yes, this would be wonderful to have water that would never, ever have to thirst again. And she was looking at the needs of her physical need. Jesus was looking at her spiritual need. And he said, "Listen, I've got water that you'll never have to thirst again." Oh, it's the only hope that the condemned is to have this gospel and missions to go out. Without the gospel, man is hopeless and hellbound, helpless in all that he does. Though the lost may not recognize their sinful condition, the doomed in hell. No, the only hope of the lost is missions. In Luke chapter 16, we find a very familiar story there of that rich man that died, and Lazarus, and how he was in the place of torment. And he lifted up his eyes and he's crying out to Lazarus and said, "Would you dip the tip of your finger in water that you might cool my tongue? I'm tormented in this flame." And Lazarus said all those things. And then he said, "Well, then if you can't do that, would you go and send someone to my house? For I have five brethren, and I want to have them hear the gospel." And this is what the reply in verse number 27 and 28. He said, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him," that's Lazarus, "to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." I want you to realize tonight, I use this illustration in my own life a lot because it keeps me burdened. But if I could roll back the veils of hell tonight, if I could just for a moment just expose what's actually happening in that place of torment, I want you to understand, first of all, there's not a party going on. Before I was saved, I used to have a very glib attitude towards it. When I was in the Navy, we used to joke that, well, when I got down to hell, I'd have an air-conditioned apartment and we'd be sitting around having fun. Oh, it bothers me to think about what I thought about it. Because I want you to understand, there's nobody in an air-conditioned apartment down in hell. There's nobody having any fun in that place. And if we could roll back that, not only the stench, not only the heat, but I believe you'd hear cries of torment and pain
But you'd be crying, hearing those cries, saying, send someone, send someone, send someone to my father's house, to my brothers, to my wife, to my cousin, to some other relative, to a co-worker, to a classmate. I don't want them to go here. And the only hope of the condemned in Curacao is this brother in Taiwan, Thailand. I don't know why I'm stuck on that. Is this brother. And to a place that the wilds are going to. They're crying out. And those people now that have perished in those places already are crying out, saying, would you send the wilds over there? And would you let them witness to my family? Would you let Brother Bernard go and witness to my family? And Brother, whatever his name is back here. One of the things that hurts, Brother Bernard, yeah. Bernard, okay. And would you send him so that they won't go to this place of torment? That's why our churches are so important. Listen, that's why this missions thing is so important. That's why our faith promise is so important. The only hope, the only little bit of relief that those people in hell will ever, ever be able to experience is if someone goes and shares the gospel with them. It's the only hope of the condemned. It's the only hope. And here we sit. We've got all this money. We've got all of this talent. We've got all of this. These people are trying to get to the field. And it's our responsibility to give it. Why? It is the heartbeat of Christ. It's the hope of the condemned. And boy, if I could just relieve one person in hell. When I was in the Navy, I worked the flight deck. At that time, before the actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, working the flight deck is one of the most dangerous jobs that you can have because of the short runways and the flights and the aircraft. And I've seen buddies that perished. And after I got saved, I said, you know, I sure could have been a witness to them. I could have been someone that maybe would have stood in the gap for them. And I believe with all my heart, some of those are in hell tonight. And they're crying out. They're crying out. And the only hope of all the condemned to not go to that place is the gospel of the missionaries carry to them. Oh, we need to be found faithful. We need to be found faithful. All that we do. I read a story some time ago about an agnostic professor who was visiting the Fiji Islands. And the professor, as he was visiting and talking, he remarked to one elderly native chief, he says, you're a great leader of all these people, but it is a pity that you have been taken in by those Christian missionaries. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the story of Christ dying on the cross for the sins of mankind. They all know better, and I'm sorry that you've been so foolish to accept their story. The old chief's eyes began to flash with a little bit of anger, maybe, as he replied to that professor. He said, you see that great rock over there? He says, on it, we would smash the heads of our victims. See that furnace sitting next to it? In that oven, we used to roast the bodies of our victims. If it wasn't for those missionaries and the message that they brought that changed our lives from being cannibals to Christian, you would be our next supper. And I can tell you, probably that professor was maybe glad that somebody took the message. See, the only hope that this world has is Jesus. You know, in our country, we're so bombarded by the gospel, are we not, or Christian thoughts? I mean, you turn on the TV, we're live streaming this, we've got radio tonight. I mean, anywhere you go, churches on every corner, not all of them, I understand, are standing for the truth, but everywhere you go, you can find religion. It's not true in some of these countries that these folks are going to. And we take it for granted. And we sit back and we say, oh, I'm so thankful that I know I'm saved. And I know I'm going to heaven. And people are perishing around us all over. We ought to really put an importance, a priority upon mission simply because it's the heartbeat of Christ and it's the hope of the condemned. And then let me just share also that the importance of mission is because of its health to the church. Look at verse number 39. Turn all the way back and keep going on in that chapter and look at verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans that of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come on to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. I want you to realize it's health to the church. I don't understand how God works. Pastor and I were talking about this yesterday while we were out. I don't always understand how God does things. But we go out. We knock on doors. We hand out tracts. We invite people to come to church. We try to soul win if we get an opportunity to lead somebody to Christ. And we don't always see those people in church. But you know what amazes me? God adds onto the church daily. When I'm faithful in doing what I'm supposed to do, God blesses the ministry that I'm a part of. I called back to our church today to check and see how the services went. And we had 3 visitors in the service this morning. Amen. And I'm always excited when visitors are there. I hate it when I'm not there when they're there, but that's just part of it. But you know what it is? It's because our church is giving and getting the gospel out that Lord brings in others into our church. And through that multiplication, we can do more for missions. You see, when we get bigger churches, I'm not all for, listen, I believe that probably a majority of the missions work going on today is from smaller churches. Amen. But the fact is I don't want to always stay the same. I want to see more people. And then because the more we have, the more we can give. And then the more the blessings come in. Amen. And it's health to the church when I put a priority upon reaching people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it's health to my church. It's health to the church that I'm a member of. It's health to the church that I pastor. Because we can see God bless it. Can you imagine? These people said, "Hey, we want you to tarry here. We want you to teach us and preach us, just as this brother taught us tonight." And many came to know him as Savior. What a blessing it is. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian." That was the last command of our Savior's lips prior to his going to the cross. Before he ascended into heaven. I want you to do something for me. I didn't have this plan, but take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts real fast. Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to find it here. Acts chapter 1. We know the command there that we shall be witnesses, and we understand that. But look at verse number 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.'" I want you to look at this one phrase in there. In verse number 11 it says, "Why stand ye gazing?" You know what amazes me is I think sometimes we're looking, we're waiting, but we're not involved. We're standing still. We're comfortable. We're happy. Why stand you just gazing? He's coming again, yes. And I want to look for him coming. I want to see that coming. Amen. I'm waiting to hear the shout. I'm waiting to hear that trumpet and all the rest. Come up hither. What an exciting thing that's going to be. But I don't want to be standing around doing nothing. The Bible says that we are to work, for the night is coming. Amen. We need to be laboring and to get out and to send our missionaries. It's health to the church to see something happen in all of it. The supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the world. One old preacher, Oswald J. Smith, said the mission of the church is missions. That's the mission of the church. He also said that any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. Can you imagine? It's health to the church to keep it vision, to keep the burden, to keep the thought of reaching the world for Christ. When God loved, He loved the world. When the Father gave us His Son, He gave His Son to the world. When Jesus died, He died for the world. You see, God's vision is the world. He wants everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that an amazing thought? When I have the right importance placed upon missions, and I ought to have it. I ought to have it as a priority of my life, the reaching of the lost. Why? It's the heartbeat of Christ. It's the hope of the church. And it's the hope of the condemned, the health of the church. And then lastly, why should we make mission so important? Because mission is the help to the Christian. Look at verse number 35, would you please, of our passage. Verse 34, and Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not that there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want you to realize, help to the Christian, working together for a great reward in heaven. See, these missionaries going to the field that they're going to, Taiwan, Curacao, they can't do it themselves. They can't do it themselves. There has to be help along the way. And every soul, if you support this brother, every soul that he wins through that Bible study, you're going to get a reward in heaven. I don't know about you, but that just excites me to pieces. These folks go into Thailand. Every soul, every child that they lead to Christ and encourage to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, you're going to get a reward for. These folks go into the field that they're going to, the wilds. Every one of those little boys and girls that they help to raise up and win to Christ and become preachers or missionaries themselves to their people. Think about the multiplication of it all. Amen? It is said that D.L. Moody, think about this. D.L. Moody never went to Bible college, never had formal training, but had a burden to preach, and God called him to preach. And personally, he led over 1 million people to the Lord in his lifetime through preaching and soul winning. In fact, he told the Lord that he would never let one day go by that he would not witness to one person. There were many times in Chicago in the wintertime when it was cold, he'd climb into bed, get ready for that night, and realize that he had not witnessed to one person. Now, most of us would say, well, I'll witness to two tomorrow. I'll make it up. He didn't. His commitment to the Lord was that important. He'd get back out of bed, get dressed, go out into the streets of Chicago until he could find one person that he could witness to. A commitment. Made a commitment. But you know, you think about it now. When you think about D.L. Moody and those millions of souls that he's been credited with winning to Christ, you have to go back to the man that led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Amen. In a shoe store. He was a Sunday school teacher. Amen. And he went in to visit his student And he happened to have the privilege of leading him to the Lord. Now, I want you to realize that gentleman went to heaven before D.L. Moody did. But can you see all those rewards coming to heaven for him? Multiplied. And you know what? People that D.L. Moody led to the Lord grew up, grew, matured spiritually, began to win people to Christ. They won people to Christ. They've grown up. Do you know that people are still clipping coupons, I guess you'd call it, reaping rewards in heaven for winning that one man to Christ? You see, it is an exciting thing when we can be a part of sharing the gospel around the world in places that we'll never go, places that we'll never may be able to meet any of those people. But one day in heaven, whew, what a joy it's going to be when we walk down the streets of glory and have those people come up to us and say, oh, brother, thank you for taking these missionaries in and working to support them, because every one of them, you happened to lead me to Christ. They led me to Christ. I'm here because of you. Woo! Wouldn't that be exciting? That's why we ought to make the priority of this missions conference. It's not an add-on to the church. It's not just a program that we're going to do to be an independent, fundamental Baptist church. It's the heartbeat that it ought to be in the church. It ought to be that which gathers us and keeps us, and we pray for these folks that are out there, and we labor and we're faithful in our giving. Too many today want it this way. They're taking what God gives and stick it in their pockets for their own use instead of doing what God wants us to do and channel it back out. That's why when you sign that promise card, you don't have to sign it, you fill it out. Because the promise isn't between you and the pastor. The promise is between you and God. And when you fill that out and you pray and say, Lord, what can I give? What do you want me to give? Remember what I said this morning, out of what you have. See, God doesn't want you to give what you don't want. He doesn't expect you to give what you don't have, but He expects you to give something of what you do have. And if I can give to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an investment. Don't raise your hand. But I would virtually say probably everybody in this building, most of us, have some kind of a retirement program. You paid into Social Security, or you're paying into business thing, 401k. Now you can tell I don't have one. But you pay into those things, and what do you expect? You expect a return when you want it, right? And you don't want just what you put in; you want it to multiply, do you not? You know, you don't put your money in the mattress anymore because you want something else when you get ready to retire. Well, listen, this is God's retirement program. Amen. It's putting that into missions, not for a reward here, not for what you can gain here, because anything you gain here is temporal. Amen. You're going to leave everything that you get here. If you got a 404, whatever that thing is, and it's worth millions of dollars, if you die tomorrow, guess what? Somebody else is going to spend it. Would you like my name? But the fact is you're going to leave it all behind. But what I give to missions, what I can see missionaries accomplish in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is building an eternal reward. That's going to be there forever. I just can't wait to get to heaven. I really can't. When I had my heart attack, I was laying on the table in the cath lab. I have an Indian doctor and a cardiologist, good fella, and he had my arm and he was doing his work. And he said, you know, you're very lucky. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, one out of five that have this don't make it. I thought, well, this is not the time to tell me that. I mean, you know, I'm still here and I want to make sure I make it out of here. And so so he said, are you retired? And I said, no, I still work. He said, well, what kind of work you do? I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. Amen. He said, well, you can pray for me. I said, I already have. Boy, Bill, I've already have. You know. But I'll tell you what. That gentleman has saw something. And when we meet for the appointments, the first appointment I made with him, he said, you know, you didn't worry about that, did you? I said, listen, I know where I'm going. He said, you believe in a, I don't remember the word, he said, paradise, I think he said. I said, I believe in heaven. And I said, I know I'm going there. He says, you do? And I said, yeah. You see, it's opened the door to witness to this fella. And every time we go back, he shares with me and we talk a little bit. And it's just an opportunity. You see, what I want to do one day is I'm hoping. I didn't want my heart attack. I really didn't. And I didn't, you know, I don't like taking all the medicine I have to take and all the rest of those things. But I'll tell you what, if I can get that one doctor to get into heaven, it'd be worth it all. And I hope that one day. Listen, I know that when we get to heaven, I won't need a cardiologist. Amen. I know I'm not going to need it. But I sure would like to see him on the streets of glory every day and have him come up to me and say, you know, brother, I'm so glad that you had your heart attack. I'm so glad that I met you. I'm so glad that I'm in heaven today. Oh, what a joy that'll be for all of eternity. You see, that's why we ought to put an importance upon missions. Because forever in heaven, that's what we're going to share. So when you think about faith promise, get excited. Get thrilled. Realize it's the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're sharing in that. It's the hope of the condemned. It's the only hope that they have. Is somebody carry the gospel to them. The Bible says that we're to go into all the world. And there's no way I can go into every area. Into every hamlet. In every country. But I can have a part in helping others go that have been called. It's the hope of the condemned. It's health to the church. Because it'll help your church not only get a vision and a burden, but also bring in others to keep the mission going. And then it's health to the Christian. Because one day, whoo, I know one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to have some reward. I want to have a reward. I want to be able to lay it all at the Savior's feet.
Amen.
And say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. What priority does missions have in your heart? Let me tell you, it'll determine the priority you place on it, what you put on that faith promise card, how you look at how I can give and what God can do through me. Let's make missions the priority. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this dear church. Thank you for their burden, their vision, their desire to help missionaries and to support missionaries and to sacrifice a little bit of what we could have here so that we can have it there. And Lord, I pray that in the days ahead, in this next month, as they continue to take up these faith promise cards, that you'll continually to speak to the hearts of your people and help them to realize all the importance that this one week, this one time, this one ministry of our church has in our lives. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. And I wonder how many of us would say, you know, preacher, I really want to make missions the priority in my life. Not only involving possibly by giving, but maybe even pray that God would send someone out of our church to be a missionary, to fill in those ranks that are diminishing, to realize that it's your heartbeat. It's the only hope that a lost world has. And I want to have a healthy, prosperous church. Preacher, I wonder if you'd just pray with me that my heart would get a glimpse of the Lord's heart in reaching the world. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Let's involve ourselves to the priority, the importance of missions. Father, thank you. Once again, I know my heart, my life, my wife, and these missionaries certainly have been blessed to be here this week. And Lord, I pray that as we leave, Lord, you would continue to stir the hearts of your people in this matter of reaching a lost and dying world with the only hope that it has, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this invitation. Maybe some just need to come and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Maybe some just need to come and say, Lord, help me to really know what you want me to do for missions this next year. Maybe others will come and just say, Lord, I'm so glad you love me and were willing to come to this old world just to be a blessing in my life by saving me. Whatever it is, Lord, help us, Lord, tonight, this invitation to bring honor and glory to you and you alone. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? If you need to come tonight as the preacher takes over, you do whatever it is God wants you to do tonight.